Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents...
Good Guy!
The Snickers welcome you to Curtain Time. The box office is sold out again tonight, and another capacity crowd fills the lobby. And here, eager for the first act of tonight's play, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's in store for us tonight?
A very amusing play, Tom. But there's the overture. We'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seats 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, now that we're in our seats, let's look through the program. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in The Perfect Blank by Ralph Klein. Mr. Elders is cast as Mike Roberts, and Miss Sargent plays the part of Linda Mason.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of The Perfect Blank. The scene is the inside of a swank convertible coupe. At the wheel is Mike Roberts, a wealthy young man. And beside him sits a very attractive girl, Linda Mason.
Look, Linda, we'll be at the airport in less than 5 minutes.
I know, Mike.
Are you sure you won't change your mind?
Please, Mike. We've been over the whole thing.
But, Linda, I can't let you walk out on me like this.
You let me down, Mike Roberts, enough. I don't care to discuss it anymore.
Well, I do.
Well, then stop the car and let me out. I didn't ask you to drive me to the airport. You insisted.
Linda, let's give it another try.
No.
Won't you take back your engagement ring? Darn it, which pocket do I put it in?
Mike, your hands on the wheel. You missed that pole by inches.
Oh, here it is.
You can also put that ring back in your pocket. I've given you half a dozen chances, and you're hopelessly irresponsible.
But, darling, I can afford to be irresponsible.
Well, just because you inherited a department store, you don't need to think you're set for life. I've heard rumors of financial troubles.
Oh, that.
No wonder with you trying to run things from the town's leading night spot.
Linda, if you call off this trip, I'll make you so proud of me you'll want to stand up and shout.
Oh, you said that the last time.
Well, this time I mean it.
And this time I'm going to Los Angeles to marry Peter Duncan.
Oh, but honey, you don't love Peter Duncan. You love me.
Oh, Mike, I wanted to go on loving you, but you wouldn't let me.
But how many times do I have to tell you I'll turn over a new leaf?
Oh, you said that too many times before.
And you don't think I've got what it takes. Well, I'll prove that I have.
Mike, what are you doing?
Turning the car around and taking you home.
Now, see here. How many times do I have to... Mike, that gun... Hello, Western Union. I want to send a wire to Peter Duncan, Mayfair Club, Los Angeles. Just say, trip delayed... because friend is in hospital. We'll wire time of arrival. Linda. Oh, wait. Make that love, Linda.
Oh.
Easy now, Mr. Roberts. You're all right.
Oh, my head. It hurts. What happened? What hit me?
A 6-ton truck.
A 6-ton... Say, where am I? Who are you?
Well, I'm Dr. Thornton, and you're...
Oh, I remember now. But Linda, where's Linda?
You mean Miss Mason?
Yes. Is she all right?
She wasn't even scratched.
Oh, good. But did she make her plane?
Plane?
Yes, she was supposed to take the Los Angeles plane.
Well, I don't think so. She's waiting outside your door right now.
Oh, gee, that's well. Well, what about me?
You were pretty lucky, Mr. Roberts. Except for a slight head concussion, I can't find a thing wrong with you.
Boy, that is lucky. When do I get out of here?
Well, we'll have to keep you under observation until tonight. But I'd better let Miss Mason know you're all right. She's very anxious about you. Would you like to see her?
Bring her in, please.
Oh, Miss Mason.
Doctor, has he regained consciousness?
Yes, and he's perfectly okay.
Are you sure?
Oh, he may have a slight headache for a few days, but nothing serious.
Well, I'm planning a trip, and I just can't leave until I know he's out of danger.
Well, now.
I'll postpone my trip indefinitely if you think it's advisable.
Oh, there's no need of that, Miss Mason. You can take a plane tonight.
Oh, darn it, if I can only think of some way to keep her.
Now, if you'd like to come in and say hello.
Oh, yes, I would. That is just long enough to say goodbye.
Well, Mr. Roberts, here's Miss Mason to see you.
Oh.
Hello, Mike.
Oh.
I said, Hello, Mike. What's the matter? Are you angry with me?
Who are you?
That's strange.
Mike, it's Linda. Oh, Doctor, are you sure he's all right?
Why, Roberts, this is Miss Mason. You asked to have her come in.
Oh, and you're Mr. Mason?
No, I'm Dr. Thornton.
Oh? Is someone sick?
Yes. Well, yes, you were in an auto accident. Don't you remember?
An auto accident?
Oh, Doctor.
So you're Linda Mason?
Oh, Mike, you know I am.
And you're Dr. Thornton?
That's right.
Well, then, who am I?
Oh, Doctor.
Miss Mason, he was perfectly all right a minute ago, but...
But, Doctor, what is it?
Why, I'm afraid it's amnesia.
What? You mean he's lost his memory?
Yes.
Oh, but how long will it be before he remembers anything?
Oh, an hour perhaps. Maybe a year.
A year?
Miss Mason, you better leave now. You can look in again this evening, unless you're leaving for California.
Oh, no, I couldn't think of going now. What did you say, Mike?
Mike? Who's Mike? Oh, that's me. I keep forgetting. Why, I didn't say anything. Just...
I wouldn't be phoning you long distance if I didn't know how anxious you are. But how can I desert an old friend at a time like this? Oh, now, there's nothing for you to worry about, dear. Mike and I are through for good, but... Well, I feel it's my duty to stand by him until... Well, of course I love you. Yes, yes, Peter, I'll call again tomorrow. Goodbye, dear.
Now, Roberts, concentrate real hard.
I am concentrating, Doctor.
Now, try to remember.
Oh, I do hope
you it. And Miss Mason here were driving to the airport when you slammed on the brakes and turned the wheel sharply. Now, tell me, what happened then?
I don't know.
Oh, honestly, I give up.
Oh, please, Doctor.
One more day of this and I'll be a hospital case myself.
But he's in a very delicate condition. Mike. Mike, look at me. Don't you know me, Mike?
Sure. You're Linda Mason. I met you the other day.
Mike, when you look at me, doesn't it recall anything?
Nope.
But we've shared so many memories together.
We have?
Listen, it was November 1942. The stadium was packed for the big game.
Mm-hmm.
There was 1 minute to go, and we were trailing 7-6.
7-6.
Our team came out of the huddle on its own 5-yard line and only 60 seconds to play.
Gee.
The center snapped the ball to you.
Gosh.
Now think, Mike, think. What did you do?
I ran 95 yards for a touchdown.
No, you dropped the ball.
I did?
It's no use, Miss Mason. The man's a perfect blank.
But we've got to make him remember, Doctor. It's been 3 days, and Peter's getting very impatient.
But we're helpless, Miss Mason. Physically, of course, he's 100%.
But what are you going to do?
I have no choice but to discharge him from the hospital. I wonder, could you see that he's taken care of?
Well, I have a friend who lives in the same apartment hotel.
Good.
I can stay with her and also keep an eye on Mr. Roberts.
That may work. Familiar surroundings and your care may do the trick. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll arrange it so we can leave the hospital.
Mike.
Hmm?
You're just like a bad penny.
Am I? What's a bad penny like?
It always turns up. And you always manage to keep turning up in my life.
Really?
I was less than 5 minutes away from getting rid of you forever, and you had to get cracked on your thick head and ruin all my plans.
Miss Mason, you shouldn't talk to me like that.
Why shouldn't I?
Well, as you said yourself, I'm in a very delicate condition. Very delicate indeed.
The curtain falls on the first act. Tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. And now, John Weigel. Tomorrow will be Washington's birthday, a holiday when the whole family can be together for relaxation and enjoyment. And one little treat that everyone in the family will enjoy is the taste treat of a Snickers candy bar. You begin to enjoy a Snickers bar the moment you first open that crisp wrapper and recognize that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate. Then with each bite, your teeth sink through the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel packed with crisp, whole roasted peanuts, and the soft nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. all melt together in each enjoyable mouthful to give you that rare taste blend found only in Snickers. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
For the second act of The Perfect Blank, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Well, it's a day or two later. The scene is the office of Charles Parks, Vice President and General Manager of the department store, Mike Robertson's.
Parks speaking. Oh, yes, Mr. Mitchell, I was going to call you at the bank, but, well, it's unfortunate that young Robert's accident came at a critical time like this. You say the bank refuses to renew the note? But you can't... Oh, I realize the statement does show that our capital's taken a nosedive, but... Oh, I understand, but we just don't have the cash on hand right now. But I'll do the best I can. Goodbye. Would you please come into my office, Miss Wilson?
Yes, Mr. Park.
Close the door, Miss Wilson.
What's up, Charles? What is it?
Amy, the bank just phoned.
They did?
Yes. They refuse to renew the store's note.
Oh, marvelous. It's just what we've been waiting for.
Amy, my dear, the Roberts department store is tottering.
And when it falls right into our hands. Mike Roberts will be out and we'll be in complete control.
And we'll be able to take over the whole place for a song.
What a joke. We'll pay him off with his own money.
Well, now, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Oh, come now, Charles. Why be squeamish about it? We robbed him of every cent he has.
Well, if he'd stayed around here once in a while, we wouldn't have been able to run the place into the ground.
How much longer do we have to wait, Charles?
The note is due in 30 days.
And Roberts can't meet it.
No. So we assume the obligation, pay him off with a few dollars, and the store is ours.
Wonderful. By the way, how's Mike getting along?
All I know is that he's back at his hotel.
Well, don't you think it's time that you went to see him?
Yeah, I guess you're right, Amy. I'll run up and see him this afternoon.
Yes?
I'm Charles Parks, general manager of Robert's department store.
Oh, Mr. Parks, please come in.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Linda Mason, a friend of Mr. Robert's.
Oh, I'm very happy to know you, Miss Mason, but tell me, how is poor Michael getting along?
He's about the same, I'm afraid.
You mean his mind is a perfect blank?
Yes. He doesn't show the least sign of remembering anything.
Oh, that's too bad. But will it be all right if I see him for just a moment?
Oh, certainly. Mike, you have a visitor.
Well.
Hello, Michael.
Hello there. How are you?
I guess you don't know me, do you?
Mike, this is Charles Parks. He runs your department store.
Well, how do you do, Parks? Draw up a chair. Tell me all about myself.
Oh, I can't believe it. Well, Michael, how are you feeling?
Never felt better.
I see. Well, I really should be getting back to the store.
Oh, but you just got here, Mr. Parks.
Well, that's true, but I'm a very busy man. I just wanted to assure Michael that things are going along the same as usual.
Well.
Now, don't you worry about a thing.
Oh, I'm not. But I will be stopping in at the store in another day or two.
Well, you'll always be welcome there. I mean...
In fact, before long, I intend to take an active part in the business.
You do?
Of course, I'll have to learn the business all over again.
Yeah, yes, of course. Well, I've got to go. Oh, sit still, Miss Mason. I can let myself out. Good afternoon.
Goodbye.
Mike, I've got to be running along, too. I'll look in on you this evening.
Wait, Linda. There's something I want to tell you.
What is it, Mike?
I want you to know how much I appreciate all you're doing for me. I haven't the faintest idea why you're doing it,
I'm doing it because you're an old friend.
I see. Well, I found this diamond ring in my pocket. I thought it might belong to you.
No, it's not mine, Mike. I told you, I'm engaged to someone else. Perhaps you should sell that ring.
No, not yet, at least. Someday I may want to put it back on the finger of the girl it belongs to. It's a funny thing, Linda. The inside of this ring is engraved with the initials L.M., the same as yours.
Well, Michael, come in, my boy. Come in.
Hello, Park. Just thought I'd drop in. Gee, this sure is a honey of a store. I can't quite believe it's all mine.
Well, yes, it certainly is.
You know, I can't wait to get into the swing of things.
No, I don't want you to push yourself, my boy.
Oh, but I'm feeling great. And, Miss Mason tells me she's heard of financial troubles around here.
She's heard? Dear me, I didn't know it was common knowledge.
Then there is some basis for the rumors?
Yes, I'm afraid there is.
Just what do you mean?
Oh, hang it all, Michael. I don't want to add to your troubles.
Shoot.
Well, we have a large note due at the bank in exactly 27 days.
And we can't meet it?
No.
Is there any hope?
None whatsoever.
Oh, but there must be some way of borrowing enough money to tide us over until we can get back on our feet.
Michael, there's only one chance for you to escape with your skin.
What's that?
Well, I happen to have some wealthy friends.
Yes?
They're willing to take over. They'll pay you $10,000.
$10,000?
It's that or nothing. If you don't take it, you'll be left without a dime. Shall I tell them you'll do it?
Oh, gee, I'll have to think it over. Where's my office, Parks? I'd like to go in there.
Now, look, what about that offer? You better grab it before...
Well, I told you I want to think it over. Now, where's my office?
Yes, of course. I'll have my secretary show you where it is. You just sit right there while I go out and get her.
Okay, but if you just tell me where it
is... I'll send Miss Wilson right in. Miss Wilson?
Charles, what's the matter?
Don't worry, Amy.
I don't like having him around here.
He can't hurt us. Even when he's himself, he's like a babe in the woods.
Are you sure he'll accept that offer?
Of course I'm sure. What else can he do? Not a darn thing.
Well, Mike, how was your first day at the office?
Oh, great. One day with me in the place and the store is bankrupt.
Bankrupt?
It seems you were right about financial troubles.
But Roberts is the busiest store in town, Mike. He doesn't make sense.
All I know is that I've got a busy night ahead of me trying to figure out a way to save the place in 27 days.
27 days?
Yes, that's all the time that's left.
But what about our date?
Date?
Apparently you've forgotten.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Linda, but do you mind if we make it some other night?
No, of course not. Do you think for 1 minute that I'd drag you away from your work?
Gosh, Linda, thanks.
You know, you've certainly changed.
I have?
I never expected to see the day when Mike Roberts put business before pleasure. Gee, it's funny what a little bump on the head will do.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, here is John Weigel. For many, many years now, candy lovers all over the country have thrilled to the taste of a Snickers candy bar. For every bite of a Snickers bar is a taste of truly fine candy. The thick milk chocolate coating is no ordinary chocolate, but the finest pure milk chocolate. The golden layer of caramel is unusually smooth and creamy and packed with crisp, whole, freshly roasted peanuts. And the luscious nougat center is soft and rich with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. Altogether, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, crisp peanuts, and soft nougat make every bite of a Snickers bar a thrilling treat, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers. Is the call for the third act of The Perfect Blank, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. While pretending to have amnesia in order to keep Linda Mason from marrying another man, Mike Roberts discovered that his department store is on the verge of bankruptcy. Well, now, 2 weeks later, Charles Parks, general manager of the store, is talking with Amy Wilson, his secretary and confederate.
I don't like it, Charles.
Please, Amy.
For the last 2 weeks, Mike Roberts has been snooping around here from top to bottom.
I know,
but... He spends hour after hour going over the books. And he's up to something, I tell you.
He's up to nothing.
No? Then why is he around here morning, noon, and night?
Because he's still stupid enough to think he can save the business.
Well, I don't see him jumping to accept your offer.
He will. There are just 2 weeks to go.
Well, I'd still like to burn those books.
Don't worry. I've got those books so well doctored. He'll need a blueprint to find his way through them.
Well, maybe.
In 2 more weeks, this place will be ours.
Well, I hope so. But I don't feel as sure as I did. I don't feel sure at all.
Thank you.
Roberts. You can finish dressing. I'll wait for you in the living room.
Okay, Doctor. I'll be right in.
Well, Dr. Thornton, how was the examination? Did you learn anything new?
No, Miss Mason. Mr. Roberts is just about the same. He's fit as a fiddle, but...
But he doesn't remember anything.
Nope, nothing.
Do you think he's working too hard, Doctor? He's been going at it a mile a minute at the store.
No, I can't see where the work is doing him any harm.
Doctor, this is going to sound strange.
What do you mean, Miss Mason?
Well, I'm not sure that I want him to get well.
What?
To be perfectly frank, I like him lots better this way. In fact, he's just the way I always wanted him to be.
Why, Linda, come on in.
I'm not disturbing you, am I?
Why, of course not. But what are you doing down here?
Shopping at my favorite department store. But say...
What's the matter?
How about opening a window in here? Oh,
too much smoke?
I'll say. How many packages have you smoked today?
Well, all I know is that this is supposed to be my last day here. And...
Last day or not, you're taking me to lunch.
Oh, gee, Linda, I'm sorry, but I'm up to my neck in work.
Oh, I noticed. And I'd never believe it if I weren't seeing it with my own eyes.
Well, don't go away. You're just in time to see some fun. Mr. Parks' office, please. This is really going to be good, Linda. Hello, Parks. Will you come up to my office right away? Yes, right away.
Mike, there's something important I have to tell you.
Oh? What is it?
I'm leaving for California in a few days.
Oh, no, Linda.
I had a letter from Peter this morning. He says if I don't come to Los Angeles at once, he's coming here to get me.
Oh, but Linda...
I can't say that I blame him, the poor dear.
But...
You don't need me any longer, Mike.
But I do need you, Linda. Not only now, but always.
Oh, please, Mike.
Well, now, I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, Parks, come in. You've met Miss Mason?
Indeed, I have. How are you today, Miss Mason?
Fine, thanks.
Well, Michael, I can guess why you called me.
Oh, no, you can't.
It's the last day before the bank steps in, and you've decided that the wisest thing is to accept
You're
the...
a poor guesser, Parks. I just wanted to tell you to your face that you're a dirty crook.
What?
Why?
My private auditors have proved that you've robbed me of a small fortune and have driven this store to the verge of bankruptcy.
Why, you're...
You even thought you could buy me out with the money you'd stolen from me.
I refuse to stay here and listen to this kind of talk.
You'll stay here, Parks, and like it.
I said I'm leaving. Get away from that door.
Not until the police arrive.
The police?
You call the police?
Who'd you expect me to call?
Now, look. Won't do you any good to have me arrested.
No?
No. You'd be smarter to accept my proposition. If you don't, the bank takes over tomorrow.
Wrong again, Parks. I've had the note extended until I can pull this place out of the red.
Oh, Mike, that's wonderful.
I don't believe it.
Well, I finally convinced the bank that I can put the store back on its feet.
No bank would trust $250,000 to a man whose mind is a perfect blank.
You know, the bank did raise that point. Nearly killed the deal, too, until I told them a little secret.
What secret?
That my memory's been perfect all the time.
What?
Mike, you don't know what you're saying.
Linda, I pretended that I had amnesia and... Well, I'll explain it all to you later.
No, I'm sure. The man's completely crazy. And if you don't get away from that door, Robert...
Oh, no, you don't, Parks. Linda, phone the store detective. Hey, where is she?
How should I know? Suppose you go and find her.
And leave you alone? Not a chance. She'll be around.
Mike, that was the most horrible trick I ever heard of. By the time you read this telegram, I'll be on my way to California to marry Peter. Linda.
Hello? Hello? You say the 6 o'clock plane for the coast lays over for an hour in Cleveland? Well, look, if you get me there before it takes off, you can name your own price. Oh, Linda! Linda!
Mike, what are you doing in Cleveland? How did you get here?
By private plane. Look, darling...
I have nothing to say to you, Mike. Besides, my plane's leaving in a few minutes. Goodbye.
Linda, wait. It was all a joke.
And it wasn't a very funny joke. Not to me. I worried about you all these weeks. I postponed my wedding.
I know, honey, and I'm sorry. But I had to do it.
I failed to see why.
Don't you remember that first day in the hospital when you told the doctor you'd stay with me till I was well?
That was my mistake.
But that's why I had to pretend I was sick. I had to keep you there until I could really prove myself.
I still think you're an irresponsible idiot.
But haven't I worked like a beaver all these weeks?
Well, that's true.
Didn't I expose Parks and save the store? Didn't I talk the bank into extending the loan?
Well, yes,
can't
but...
you see that all I want to do is settle down and take care of you and the store?
Oh, Mike, I know you changed it, and it's marvelous, but I...
Oh, come on, honey. Won't you let me slip this ring back on your finger where it belongs?
Oh, dear. The bad penny's turned up again.
How about it, Linda?
Well, oh, Mike, Robert, there's no resisting you.
Well, here, give me a hand.
Oh, darling.
There.
Oh, but, Mike, what about Peter?
Oh, forget him. I'm sure he never expected you to marry him.
No, I guess you're right.
Oh, gee, I'd like to kiss you right here in front of all these people.
Oh, now, don't you dare.
Well, okay. Well, what do you say we go downstairs and see about getting a plane back east, huh?
Oh, darling, let's.
Oh, say, I forgot to tell you. Parks implicated his secretary, Amy Wilson.
Really?
Yes. And they still had most of the money, which means that I... Linda, look out! Linda, you're falling! Linda! Linda! Are you all right? Linda, speak to me.
Oh, my head. My head.
Oh, darling. Darling, look at me. Are you hurt?
Who are you?
Who am I? You mean you don't know me?
I've never seen you before.
Oh, golly, now she's got it.
The curtain falls on the last act of another Curtain Time play, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Tonight's Curtain Time starred Harry Elders and Annette Sargent. The supporting players were Eloise Kummer, Michael Romano, and George Caesar. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. And now, here are the stars of Curtain Time with a word about next week's play.
Well, next Saturday, Pat, Nanette's a demure, small-town school teacher.
And Harry's a self-centered movie director who insists on turning my life inside out.
Well, is that bad?
Well, suppose we find out about that next Saturday. Oh, but what's the name of the play?
It's called Readin', Writin', and Romance.
Well, I want to hear that. Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elder.
Good night, Pat.
Good night.
Now, I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting after theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Snickers present...
Curtain Time!
Each week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.